You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1432. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me back from his famous worldwide tour is Peter, man. Pete, what's up? Welcome back.
What's up? I'd like to say hello to everybody from Arrakis. If you've watched Dune, you know exactly what I mean. It's a spice world. It's hot.
It's hot. It's hot. Look, I know people are going to be listening to this on the podcast. You're not going to hear the fan because I have a special plugin. I could, you know, fix that. But if you're watching this live, you might hear a little bit. I told Pete, turn on your fan. I don't want you to pass out. It's really, really hot where he's at right now. Imagine Pete's like talking. It's like, you know, passes out. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw or not, but I was recording a podcast. Actually, I was recording a Gamertag Radio episode. And yo, an earthquake. I mean, it was very short, but it was like a live earthquake during the recording. Yo, it was the scariest thing. Like, you know, sometimes it happens, you know, out of nowhere when we were like watching TV, but it never happened while recording. That was like crazy. I left it in the recording. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Just leave it. People can hear that. And you hear the mic. It's fun. But yeah, shout out to everybody that have been listening to GTR. Shout out to Paris. He's not going to be joining us this week. By the way, for those who are listening, some of those are going to be traveling, taking some time off. But I'm planning to record some content ahead of time. So I'm going to release it, you know, on schedule so people can listen to it while we're off. Because I'm going to be traveling. Pete's traveling. Paris most likely is going to be traveling too. So a little vacation for the crew, man. So. On this episode, I have a voicemail from Keon. Make sure, guys, if you're listening, send us more questions. I would love for you guys to you know, interact with us and everything. And also, for those who are watching us during the live stream, if you have any questions for us, this is going to be a Q&A fan mail edition. Send it in over here, and we'll try our best to answer it. All right? We'll try our best. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. If you find us, make sure to subscribe, follow us, you know, share your content, listen to it. The more you do that, it will help us to get discovered by other people, man. So please make sure to support us as much as possible. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail edition, which we're going to do one right now, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, so shout out to everybody that have been sending us questions and voicemails. So, I mean, there's some that is the same question, so we don't usually answer it multiple times, the same thing. So I like to change things around. And also, Pete passed out, I don't know how many times in the background for those who are watching the live stream, because it's so hot over there. All right. Now, I have a question here, and this is from Keon. Keon always sends us questions all the time. Shout out to him. Keon, thank you so much for sending us different questions, because you know, I like for us to have conversations and, you know, answer as much as we can. So for those that are listening, watching, make sure to send those questions, all right? So here's the question. Here goes. I'm going to play it right about now. And welcome to Fan Mail.
Fan Mail at gamertagradio.com.
Yeah. Pia, you're okay over there? You're good.
I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Just in case, I got to check on you, man, because it's hot. It's summertime, baby. I got to check in. All right. So here's the question from Keon. Here goes.
What's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? How are you good brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys, are we headed towards a gaming crash? The only reason why I ask that now is because everything is going up. We are going in the opposite direction for the first time in gaming history of console prices. Things aren't getting cheaper. They're getting higher. So what? One of the Xbox Series X's is like $700 and something, what, $720, which is like more than the PlayStation 5 Pro. At this point, the Series S, which was supposed to be the entry level to get people into the ecosystem, that thing is teetering on $400 now. So gaming prices are going up to $80, $90, you know, if you're Nintendo. You know, depending on what game it is. But I'm just wondering, we know that us, the hardcore, we're going to support the hobby. This is the thing that we love. This is the thing we enjoy. But we know that we are far outnumbered, you know, from the casual audience. So with these prices, are the casual audience really going to adopt the hardware the way that they would have back in the last generation when things were a lot cheaper? And if less people are adopting the hardware, how many games are going to sell, you know, if that is the case? So I was just curious to know what are you guys' thoughts on this. As always, you guys are the best, awesome podcast, and I greatly appreciate everything that you guys do. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, shout out to Keon for that for that question. Here, I'm going to read this to you, Keon. I'm going to read this to you. And I got this. I know this question was sent back in May from Keon. This is when we found out about the Xbox price increase. I know PlayStation in different regions, the price went up, like for the PS5. And this is when we also found out about the price of the Nintendo Switch 2. During that time, you know, it was a huge controversy also with Mario Kart being $80 and all that stuff. Now, do I agree with the prices? No. Companies were, for years, they were trying to figure out a way for them to increase the prices on their products. It took a long time. When the whole thing was happening with tariffs, that's when companies were like, okay, this is the perfect time to do it. So, like, you know, it happened at the time in May. People were talking, is Nintendo is gonna sell their console? The number is gonna be high or low? And I got this from Nintendo, and it says Nintendo Switch 2 set record, selling over 3.5 million units globally in 4 days. Now, Mario Kart World also been selling a lot of copies, you know, and so on. If you are a fan of anything, it could be gaming or not gaming, you're going to go and buy it because you know you're going to be using this product for a very, very long time or whatever it is, right? So again, do I agree with companies raising it? No, but I also understand why they're doing it. You know, Steam Deck is not cheap. People have been buying it. Now, is it like Nintendo Switch 2 numbers? No, but it's selling. Gaming PC has been increasing the past couple of years, right? PC gaming is not cheap. That is not cheap at all, man. You know, that's way more expensive than consoles. You know, like just the PC what I have over here, that's a good 3 to 4 G's, just that alone. You know what I'm saying? So, Pete, how much is your PC if you gather everything, you know, everything together, like price-wise? If you have a range, how much it is in your...
I mean, are we talking including the keyboard, monitor, mouse, involved?
That's part of your PC. Everything is part of it.
Like this whole rig right here, I'm probably 8 to 10 easily, all in.
Woof. Wow. Oh my God. See, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. Now
it is what it is.
Here's the thing though, man. Like I understand that people, you know, been talking a lot about this. I remember at that time in May, there was a lot of videos of people saying, I'm not buying a Switch 2 because of the price, Mario Kart, blah, 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 blah. But then when it came out, they actually bought it too. So at the same time, you can't really, you know, think that when you see a creator complaining about something and then they're buying it, you know, once it comes out, are you going to take them seriously too? Because it's all that clickbait, you know? So it's okay for us to have conversations, but people getting angry on video, like just on camera here, just to do a clickbait content, I really don't, you know, take that type of content serious, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyways, Pete, what's your thoughts about this? I don't think it's a video game crash because it's still selling. Back in the 80s, that was a video game crash because people lost confidence on buying products of gaming at that time because Atari was releasing a lot of garbage at that time. And then when Nintendo came out in 84 in Japan, 85 in the States, that's when confidence came back. People started buying games, you know? So that's a video game crash around that time. But not, I don't think so. Like 2025, I don't think so at all. It's selling. Games are selling.
Well, let's think about first and foremost what led to the crash, like you said. You know, we had retail closures, consumer interest dropped, bankruptcy of major companies, like you said, Atari. But outside of that, it was saturation. Way too many consoles, way too many games of high quality, which I think is something that I wouldn't be surprised if some people could say is, and I think this is what I think this is what Keon was alluding to. You know, we've got Danny's favorite, you know, 12 SKU scenario. You know, we've got PlayStations, we've got you know, we've got the Switches, you've got, you know, now we've got handhelds permutating handhelds. Okay, we got handhelds permutating the market. Obviously PC, like, yeah, you could save, you know, obviously don't forget the mobile, right? This is just as much. So now cloud gaming has opened that up. The ability to either play on your mobile, play on your TV. If you've got a Nintendo, I'm not a Nintendo. If you've got like an NVIDIA based device, so you can, you know, you could do NVIDIA stream. All of those additional factors are contributing to what kind of ties into how what we experienced back in 1983, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the big similarities, right? And I don't disagree, honestly, with Keon. We do have a lot of, and this is, I'm trying to say this in a manner that does not demean, demoralize, or diminish the work or effort of any and all game developers. Every game developer, you know, has a dream to be able to publish their video games. Mm-hmm. Some are more fortunate enough to be on a AAA or a AA or a single A. Some are purely independent, so they don't have all that additional, additional input of money or capital to make their games bigger and better. But there is a dearth of video games. And that's why you see things like the Humble Bundle, which allows people to play, you know, to get like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 games for a super, super low, low price. But I mean, the crash, I don't know if we're going to see it because I think today's market and industry has several factors that allow it to survive things like this. Mm-hmm. One of the things he mentioned, you know, was, you know, Nintendo's decision to make games $80. You've heard me say this on this show plenty of times. I'm not surprised to see the increase of cost of games. Is it right or is it fair? That's a subjective question. But considering, and I've said this in the past, when you have budgets 10, 15 years ago, when the prices jumped from 50 to 60, the budgets from back then do not support the budgets of now, right? So you've got big AAA games that are going $200, $300, $400, $500 million to develop. Yeah, you need either one of two things, a price increase on games or everybody's favorite, microtransactions, right? That's the only way to make, I'll preface this by saying, probably the only way to make AAA games profitable in a way. Double and single A games, maybe not so much because their budgets aren't as large, but when you have a $500 million budget between marketing, overhead of paying developers, the cost of software, the cost of servers and infrastructure to make those, to support those services. Yeah, not surprised on the increase of the cost of games. And look, if you really want to go to that point where you're examining what is, you know, my cost per hour or game per hour, if I play a game more than 8 or 10 hours, it could potentially, you know, I could say, yeah, it's worth my time. But I mean, you take a game like Dune Awakenings, right? Or a game like Doom the Dark Ages, where they take my attention elsewhere for a good 8, 10, 20 hours out of the way. It's worth it. I absolutely would say that. And, you know, especially if it then becomes a multiplayer game where I can play and I can interact and interface with my friends online, it becomes absolutely, you know, a much better, you know, return on investment for me as a consumer. But do I think that we're close, or do I think that there will be a crash? I don't think so. I hope not. Right? Because, you know, when we turn around and we see it in the news, or we see it on Twitter or everything, you know, we see friends in the industry who have lost their jobs, who are no longer employed, who have lost their livelihood. You know, it's safe to say that, you know, you see a lot of Americans still living paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, them getting that, them losing their welfare is amongst the worst parts of being in the gaming industry. And that's, it's a scary proposition. I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And here's the thing. I think this is going to help people to be very selective on what to buy. So if your game is really good, people are going to go out there and support. You know, that, you know, doesn't matter if it's, you know, cheap or not cheap, you know. So, but here's a couple of things that I our listeners been posting here. This is from on actually on Twitch. Texas Tony posted, I said I wasn't going to buy a PS5 Pro due to the price, and now I just purchased one. Financial situation has changed. I'm a gamer first and foremost. I will eventually get a Switch 2 as well. There will be a slump, but not a crash. I totally agree with you. I think that people are going to be just very selective on what they're going to buy from now on. This is from Zan Powell. Just my opinion. People that claim that video games are crashing don't really know business will rise and fall, not in a year but over years. So people that claim this narrative that video games are doomed are looking for a clickbait content. What you think, Pete? And there's a question coming up very soon.
You're always going to see clickbait comment. I think that's part of the see me, hear me thing of this age of social media, where everybody jumps on there and wants to say something that takes their attention or gets, you know, that gets visibility and seen. I disagree. I will say, though, like I said, I think people will say anything for a response these days, whether it's good or bad. But as far as, I don't know, that's my opinion. I'll stick with that.
It's all good. All right, so we have another question here. This is from Antique Arcade. Gamer Tech Radio, do you think with that the environment of $70 to $80 games are creating an opportunity for indie games to thrive? Of course, like I said before, if your game is cheap, people are going to buy it. So no matter what, like, for example, you know, Exhibition 33 was the price was really good, and it's been selling like crazy throughout the years. You know, I know there's another game from the developers of Sifu. What's the name of the soccer game that just got released a couple months ago? That also has been selling like crazy. You know, people have been playing it left and right. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Pete?
No.
I can't remember the name of the game, but it's a soccer game, but it's the same creators from that worked on
PES?
I think it's Rumble. I can't remember. It's been a while. But anyways, yeah. So again, it all depends on the game. If it's good, it's going to sell. I think it's going to definitely help indie games to sell more because of it. The past year or two already, we've been seeing a lot of the indie games from the studios trending on different stores, especially on Steam, on top, selling like crazy. So
Rematch is what you're thinking.
Oh, Rematch. I said Rumble. I don't know why. Rematch. There you go. totally different names. But yeah, so it all depends on that, you know. But
you were talking about Rematch, the soccer game.
Oh no, the Rematch has been selling a lot, you know. It's been doing great. You know what I'm saying? So and I know I mentioned a couple of the games in the exhibition and all that, but here's the thing too, like Mario Kart World, $80. And look, I was talking to this with Ree last night. Yes, it's expensive. Do I agree with the price? No. It could be a $59.99 or $69.99 game. Mm-hmm. That's the game that I've been playing the most on the Switch too. You know, I mean, it came part of the bundle, so it's a lot cheaper when you do it that way. But even if it wasn't part of the bundle, I would have still bought this game because I love Mario Kart, and I know I'm gonna play a lot of hours in this. You know, So like right now, I think I have like 50 to 60 hours already. Just on that game alone, you know? So every day I play it. So if it's something that I know I'm going to invest and I'm going to use it for a very long time, like, look, Pete, your PC, you invested in that, very expensive, but you use that PC for everything, for work, for gaming, for all kinds of things. You invested.
Actually, I only use it for video games.
Oh, really?
Video games? Yeah. Okay, video games and pay my bills and maybe an occasional light, like surfing on the web. But I come in here, I play my video games on this thing, I turn it off, I walk away, and it's okay. I don't leave it on for days on at a time. I turn it off when I'm done.
Yeah.
Preserve the machine, preserve my investment. That's why I have things like the Steam Deck. If I want to play a game like that while I'm traveling, throw in there FPC Firebreak. Although I will say, don't try to play that on the plane. It doesn't work. I learned that firsthand. But again, like I said earlier, the amount of investment I put in to my gaming, whether it's, and again, I'm a tech nerd, so I love throwing, I will throw money on this machine just to play around with it. Hell, it's pretty enough that I turn around, I'll just look at it, right? But I mean, this is also like an office centerpiece. So when people come into my office and they look, it's the first thing they see is this big, massive monitor and this video game system. This is my show off. This is like my little peacock moment, right? Yeah, I've got my guitars and I've got my comic book collection, but this is my little personal peacock for the time being, right? This is what I love. But again, as I was referring to earlier, when I devote as much time as I do to my video games, because this is my joy. This is my release from the days of stress from work or from being a dad. Mm-hmm. I get my value. I think personally, I get my value for this, right? For my investment. So whether that's a $10 indie game or a $5 indie game, or it's a, you know, it's a $60, $80 game. I'm frankly unfortunate enough to be part of the team, so I occasionally get a code. I will turn around and use my own personal money and invest in outfits or whatever in the Play Store just to accommodate the cost of that of the people. I've done it dozens of times. I have no problem admitting this on the internet. I have no shame. I've gotten a game from Ubisoft and I will go and I will drop 40, 50 bucks on an outfit because it looks cool in the game. So I kind of pay them back for saying thank you. Those are the things that those developers and or publishers need to keep or to be able to support those games. Perfect example, Battle for Brooklyn from The Division. I was fortunate enough to get a code. I played it. To this day, even earlier today, great time playing the game. I went out and I spent money on a really, really cool all white outfit so I can go and I could play in Brooklyn as a Division agent looking super dope in all white. That's what I do.
Yep, and actually, I also completed the new expansion for Division 2. It's a lot of fun, man. I playing that, I felt like, damn, I really miss this game. It's been so long. It was so good.
As soon as I saw the announcement,
yeah, it was good. Let me tell you, I can't wait for the next Division, whatever they're working on. That I know that's going to be a couple years from now, but I'm very excited. Very excited. Anything else, Pete? Anything else? I know I posted in our chat, if anybody has any other questions, to let us know, and I'll try my best to read over here.
I was waiting. I had notes. I got them up. I got them on my monitor, on my beautiful 49-inch curved monitor.
Yeah. For the other question?
I was ready.
I mean, we could do a mini version of it if you want.
You want? We can go top three favorite games so far.
Top two.
Oof. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So the question originally, because I wanted the whole crew to be here, I was going to ask to Pete and Paris, you know, their best games of 2025 so far. Not game of the year, you know, because we're midway, you know. So top two.
I think I know what your answer is going to be.
You do? You don't know my top two.
Clair Obscur.
Of course. Exhibition 33 is a classic. I love that game so much. Was it perfect? No, but man, just the story, the voice acting, the music, the way how you play in this game, very different than other RPG games. It was just a classic. I love that game so much, man. So far, that's my favorite game of this year. It's going to be really hard to beat that one, but we'll see. We have a couple months to go, but that's one of my top ones for me. Exhibition 33 is an amazing, amazing game. So how about you, Pete?
Right now, top. It's a tie right now for me between Doom Dark Ages and Dune Awakenings.
Both great games. Both great games.
It scratches the itch. Doom scratches the first-person shooter itch, where Dune scratches the exploration itch, right? Where it's the fetch a quest. I'm a huge fan of the Dune series, having seen the movies, read the books. I love playing in an alternate universe of Dune, right? Mm-hmm. Hell, I've kicked off the show with a reference to Arrakis and being hot as hell. But I've had so much fun. Let's put it this way. I put so much time into it prior to leaving for my vacation, because I was going to be gone for like 8 or 9 days, to make sure that my bases had enough power to remain online. Mm-hmm. So that when I came back, and literally I came back and the next, like later that day when I came back, I was jet lagged and everything coming back from America. And I went back in, I put in another 3 hours of getting resources to ensure that my two bases could continue to run and generate resources. That's how much I enjoy that game. Doom Dark Ages just scratches that FPS itch. Knowing me, seeing the guitars in the background there, I am a huge metal fan. I've never shied away from that. Mm-hmm. And do I miss Mick Gordon on the soundtrack? 100%. Absolutely miss Mick Gordon on the Doom soundtrack. Finishing Move did a very admirable job, though. I am in. I liked it. The id Tech shows why it's a top-notch game engine. Full 4K, 240 mm-hmm. hertz, set to ultra on my PC, and didn't even chug. It was fine. It was sitting there reading a book on the side while playing my game. Average 150-plus FPS all game the entire time. Thank you to DLSS. Was it DLSS 4, I think, is the engine? Video Reflex, super beneficial, reducing input lag by like 50%. Tailor-made for games like this. I loved it. I had a great time.
Mm. You know what? Well, other game for me, I will put it up there too. I mean, don't get me wrong. Love Doom. Doom is like, also, is in my top 5 of this year. My top 5. The game is freaking amazing. Soundtrack is top-notch.
But it's super fun.
Not perfect yet, but I haven't really played Dune Awakening. It's a lot going on.
It's a time suck. Let me tell you though, because you will jump in, you'll start playing, you'll look up, it's 5 hours later, Rihanna's gonna be looking at you in the corner asking, why, where were you, where have you been, baby's hungry. It's one of those games. Sorry, Rihanna, but it's one of those games.
I definitely don't see myself then playing that game. Now I'll tell you another one that I really enjoy, and it was one of those where we need more of these type of games. Don't get me wrong, I love Mario Kart World. It's also in my top 5. It's like that good. But Split Fiction is one of those games where you need to have someone play with you, you know, locally. I know you could play online too, but the story is so good. But it's not only that, the levels, the experience is always changing, especially the last level of the game. Mm-hmm. That was mind-blowing. It was so crazy where I had to pause the game. I looked at Reed and I was asking her, how did they manage to create a game like this? Like, it was just like, I've never in my life experienced something like that ever. Pete, you have to play this with Ali. It's one of those games where we're going to be talking about this years from now. It's that good. It's like, it's a classic. It's a classic. It's up there with Exhibition 33. It's up there. It's so
okay.
And it's not expensive. It's cheap. You know, let's say you buy one copy. Of course, you could play split screen and so on, right? But if you get a friend and you want to play with them online, with that one copy, you should give them a code and they will also download the game and you guys could play it too.
I have that on my list here too, right? I mean, It Takes Two was phenomenal. And I don't know, I think Haze Light and Joseph, I think is his name, the crazy guy from the Game Awards. That team is doing phenomenal. And yes, the stream is dead again.
Again? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's That's Riverside. It's not us. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up then. Yeah, sorry, man. I don't know what's going on with the stream. It's dying. It's dying. I think it's just something out there in. But we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you so much for watching Gamer Talk Radio. 15
minutes of content.
No, no, we have a lot. We have a good 40 minutes with combined. It's a lot of hours. It's a long time. But thank you so much. We'll be back next week with more content. I'm going to be recording some stuff for you guys. And stay tuned. Until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.